This is a When Walls Can Talk network podcast.
In the heart of the Alpine night, where shadows dance with the flickering light of hearth fires, there lurks a tale as old as the mountains themselves. A tale steeped not in the merriment of Yuletide cheer, but in the whispers of something darker. We venture beyond the realm of jolly Saint Nicholas into the domain of his shadowed counterpart. A figure born from the depths of ancient folklore and the human psyche. He is Krampus, the Yule Lord, the menacing spirit of winter's darkest nights. This creature, half goat, half demon, roams the frostbitten landscape, not to reward, but to punish. With birch sticks in hand and chains rattling like the echoes of a thousand lost souls, he seeks out those who have strayed from the path of righteousness. Tonight, we peel back the layers of this fearsome legend. We journey into a world where the lines between good and evil blur, where the jovial laughter of the season meets the stern gaze of retribution. But our tale is much more than just an echo of old world superstitions. It is a mirror, reflecting the complexities of human nature, the eternal dance of light and shadow within us all. As we delve into the lore of Krampus, we challenge you to confront not just the monster lurking in the Alpine tales, but the deeper monsters within ourselves. I'm Jeremy Haig. And this is When Walls Can Talk. Throughout the ages, man has repeated the same earnest saying, more of a question really, or perhaps even a plea. If these walls could talk. But what if they do, and always have? Perhaps their stories, memories, and messages are all around us, if only we would take the moment to listen. On this podcast, we reinvestigate legends and tales of the past, and allow the echoes of their lessons to live on once again, informing us, educating us, and sharing new and unique insight into the inner workings of the paranormal and spiritual world. Will you dare to listen? This is When Walls Can Talk, the podcast. In the shadowed valleys and rugged peaks of the central and eastern Alps, where the whispers of ancient lore blend with the rustling of evergreen forests, tales as old as the mountains themselves are etched into the psyche of the land and its people. In a time long forgotten, nestled in the secluded hamlets of the mountains, life flowed as gently and unpredictably as the meandering mountain streams. Here, in these remote enclaves, the fabric of everyday existence was richly embroidered with the threads of mysticism and lore, a vibrant patchwork of Germanic, Gaulish, Slavic, and Raetian cultures. In this cradle of ancient folklore, where every rock and tree whispered tales of yore, a figure known as Krampus took root in the collective consciousness. Born from the depths of pre-Christian beliefs, he emerged as a haunting symbol, a stark reminder of the darker facets of human nature. Krampus, with his fearsome visage and foreboding presence, was not merely a figment of imagination, but a profound representation of the human condition's dualistic nature. As the seasons turned and the years faded into centuries, the legend of Krampus intertwined with the cultural tapestry of these alpine communities. He became an integral part of their winter solstice celebrations, a vivid contrast to the benevolence of St. Nicholas. Krampus, in his role as the fearsome enforcer of moral codes, was a manifestation of the people's deep-seated understanding of justice and retribution, embodying the ancient wisdom that every action, good or bad, would not go unnoticed. In a world where ancient traditions and beliefs were preserved like footprints in the snow, Krampus stood as a towering figure of awe and reverence. His story, passed down through generations, served as a perennial reminder of the delicate balance between light and shadow, weaving a thread of continuity through the ever-changing tapestry of human existence. The origins of Krampus, a figure deeply enmeshed in Central European folklore, trace back to a time shrouded in the mists of pre-Christian paganism. The earliest known references to this half-goat, half-demon creature, who later became entwined with the Christian traditions of St. Nicholas, reveal a complex tapestry of myth and tradition that predates the advent of Christianity in the region. Krampus, whose name is derived from the German word Krampen, meaning claw, is believed to have roots in Germanic paganism. He is thought to be the son of the Norse goddess Hel, the ruler of Helheim, the Norse realm of the dead. Hel, portrayed as a figure both living and dead, embodies the liminal nature of Krampus himself, a being straddling the worlds of the living and the supernatural. The Krampus tradition, dating back to the 6th or 7th century AD, represents a time when pagan customs were prevalent across the Alpine regions. However, the first written sources mentioning Krampus do not appear until the end of the 16th century, indicating a long oral tradition preceding the documented history of this figure. In the essence of Krampus lies the archetype of the Christmas devil, a counterpart to other similar figures like France's Hans Trapp and the Netherlands' Zwart Piet or Black Peter. These characters were part of a broader pagan tradition where people, mostly young men, would dress up in fur suits and carved masks, parading through villages to scare away the ghosts of winter, particularly during the longest night of the year, the winter solstice. As Christianity spread through Eastern Europe, Krampus became entwined with Christmas, melding with Christian traditions and narratives. By the 12th century, the Catholic Church began efforts to suppress this pagan devil, viewing Krampus as antithetical to Christian values. Despite these efforts, Krampus endured, re-emerging in the 19th century, especially after 1890, when the Austrian government relinquished control over the nation's postcard production. This period saw a commercialization of Krampus, leading to a revival of Krampus festivals. Gaudete, gaudete, Christus es natus, ex Maria Virgine, gaudete. These festivals were not just for children. They also provided an outlet for adults to dress up in frightening costumes and engage in revelry, often involving alcohol. About 1,500 years ago, Krampus assumed his role as the counterpart of St. Nicholas. According to local folklore, on the night of December 5th, when St. Nicholas would leave presents for well-behaved children, Krampus would leave a rod for the naughty ones, or even worse, stuff the worst offenders into a bag and drag them off to his lair. In the same rich tapestry of Alpine folklore, the figure of Berchta shimmered like a spectral light. Once a revered Germanic goddess, Berchta watched over the innocent, guardians of babies, women, and children. With long black hair flowing down her back and a white gown billowing like the first snowfall. She was the gentle psychopomp, guiding lost souls to the afterlife. Her image, however, morphed with the passing of time, particularly under the church's growing influence. From a benevolent deity, Berchta transformed into a figure of fear and awe, a witch leading the wild hunt, a spectral cavalcade that swept through the night skies, gathering the souls of the departed. The legend of Berchta entwines with that of the Perchtin, terrifying demons, her consorts, who roamed the alpine villages during the Yuletide. These creatures, adorned in hideous masks, paraded through the snow-clad streets, believed to scare away the ghosts of winter, an echo of an ancient tradition to ward off darker spirits and welcome the rejuvenating forces of nature. In the heart of the Alps, where myths and reality dance in an eternal waltz, these figures, Krampus, Berchta, and the Perchtin, stand as timeless guardians of a world that balances on the edge of light and shadow. Their stories, passed down through generations, are not just remnants of a bygone era, but living echoes that continue to shape the cultural identity of these mountain communities. In the flickering light of hearth fires, their tales are still told, a reminder of the eternal dance of light and shadow within us all. The Krampus figure varies across regions. In Styria, for instance, families receive the root, a bundle of twigs painted gold from Krampus, displayed year-round as a reminder of his watchful presence. In smaller, more isolated villages, Krampus is often accompanied by other beastly figures, distinct from the benevolent Saint Nicholas. These companions, known as Schabmene or Rauin, add to the rich tapestry of regional folklore. In urban Austrian centers like Salzburg, Krampus's portrayal has softened, becoming a more humorous and less fearsome aspect of Christmas markets, catering to a broader, more tourist-friendly audience. This contrasts starkly with the traditional, more intimidating depictions found in rural areas. Furthermore, in parts of Bosnia and Herzegovina and Croatia, Krampus is described as a devil, adorned with a cloth sack and chains. Here, children receiving gifts from Saint Nicholas are also given a golden branch to symbolize their good deeds. In contrast, those who misbehave find Krampus replacing their gifts with a mere silver branch, a symbol of their misdeeds. These varied tales of Krampus across the Alpine regions reflect the cultural nuances and historical influences unique to each area. From the menacing figure roaming the streets of rural hamlets to the more playful interpretations in city markets, Krampus remains a vivid symbol of the ancient dance between good and evil, deeply embedded in the folklore and traditions of these regions. In the tales of Krampus and Saint Nicholas, nestled within the snow-draped landscapes of Central Europe, lies a profound exploration of the dichotomy of good and evil, right and wrong. This folklore, a tapestry woven from the threads of ancient beliefs and Christian narratives, offers a unique lens through which we can examine these timeless concepts. The figure of Krampus, with his origins in pre-Christian paganism, embodies the darker aspects of human nature. He is not just a symbol of fear and punishment, but a reminder of the consequences that follow our actions. In his shadow, we find a reflection of our own inner struggles and moral choices. Krampus challenges us to confront the less savory parts of our nature, urging us to recognize and address our faults. Contrastingly, Saint Nicholas represents the light of benevolence and generosity, rewarding virtue and kindness. His role complements that of Krampus, creating a balance where neither good nor evil holds absolute sway. This interplay speaks to a deeper understanding in these cultures, that morality is not black and white, but a spectrum where good and bad coexist, influencing and shaping each other. Reflecting on this folklore, we are reminded that our actions have consequences, and that the balance of right and wrong is a constant negotiation within ourselves. In the narrative of Krampus and Saint Nicholas, we find a cultural expression of this balance, a reminder that both the light and shadow within us are integral parts of the human experience. It teaches us that the understanding and embracing of this duality is essential in navigating the complexities of life and morality. But, to play devil's advocate, the juxtaposition of Krampus and Saint Nicholas in folklore could be seen as a simplification of the human psyche, neglecting the intrinsic complexity and fluidity of our moral nature. By personifying good and evil as distinct external entities, it risks overshadowing the reality that each individual harbors both light and darkness within themselves. This dichotomy may inadvertently suggest that people are inherently good or bad, rather than acknowledging the capacity for both in everyone. Such a perspective potentially underestimates the dynamic interplay of virtues and vices that define the human experience, where good and evil are not absolute, but rather a continuous, internal dialogue shaping our actions and choices. Reflecting on the legend of Krampus, I find myself drawn into a deeper contemplation of the nature of evil and our societal approach to it. Krampus, in his fearsome demeanor, serves as a stark reminder of the darkness that we often seek to externalize. This externalization, however fascinating in folklore, poses a significant question. Are we, in our quest to personify evil, overlooking the shadows lurking within ourselves? This notion challenges the comfortable dichotomy of good and evil that has long been a staple of our moral compass. It brings forth a vulnerability in our understanding of ourselves and our actions. In attributing our deepest and darkest impulses to an external entity, are we not, in some way, absolving ourselves of the responsibility to confront and understand our own complexities? The journey of introspection is seldom easy, and the figure of Krampus stands as a symbolic crossroads where we must decide whether to face our inner demons or continue to cast them onto mythical beings. Moreover, the idea of a singular, all-encompassing narrative of morality, as questioned through the Krampus mythos, opens up a realm of introspection about tolerance, understanding, and the coexistence of diverse moral beliefs. It nudges us towards a more inclusive understanding of good and evil, one that acknowledges the multifaceted nature of human morality. This reflection not only deepens our understanding of cultural folklore, like that of Krampus, but also resonates with the ongoing dialogue about the complexity and plurality of human nature itself. In the shifting shadows of modern culture, where ancient myths intertwine with contemporary sensibilities, the figure of Krampus stands as a fascinating emblem of our evolving relationship with these concepts. The transformation of Krampus from a folkloric figure to a modern cultural icon reveals much more about our current values and fears. In ancient times, Krampus was a fearsome creature, part of a holiday that felt more akin to Halloween than Christmas. On Krampusnacht, men dressed as Krampus, adorned with hand-carven wooden masks and suits made from animal skin, would run through the streets, terrifying children and embodying the punitive aspect of the holiday spirit. This tradition, rooted in a time where fear and retribution were integral to moral teachings, reflected a society where evil was externalized, personified in the figure of Krampus. Today, however, Krampus has transcended his alpine origins, finding a place in the broader tapestry of global pop culture. He is celebrated in various forms across Europe and has gained significant popularity in the United States. modern Krampusnacht celebrations, ranging from parades to charity fundraisers, signify a shift in the perception of this once menacing figure. These events, often imbued with a sense of community and festivity, contrast with the ancient tradition of terrorizing children, reflecting a society more inclined to embrace the mythological and cultural aspects of Krampus rather than his punitive role. In popular media, Krampus has been reimagined and integrated into various narratives, from animated shows like American Dad to horror films. These portrayals often maintain the core spirit of the Krampus lore, but adapt it to fit contemporary themes and sensibilities. For instance, in American Dad, Krampus is featured in a holiday special, a deviation from the traditional portrayal of St. Nicholas, reflecting a growing trend of exploring darker aspects of Christmas. Similarly, in shows like Supernatural and Grimm, Krampus is depicted with a blend of traditional elements with modern twists, showcasing our enduring fascination with the character and his symbolism. This modern adaptation of Krampus reflects a shift in societal values and fears. No longer merely a symbol of punishment and evil, Krampus has become a character that allows us to explore the complexities of morality in a more nuanced and often entertaining way. These contemporary interpretations also signify a reaction against the commercialization of Christmas, with Krampus serving as an anti-hero, challenging the consumerist narrative. The evolution of Krampus from a figure of fear to a multifaceted cultural icon demonstrates our changing relationship with the concepts of good and evil, reflecting a society that seeks to understand and embrace the complexities of its folklore and mythology. In pondering the story of Krampus, we're invited into a captivating journey through time and culture. This tale, born from the Alpine heartlands, offers us a unique window into the cultural mindset of a bygone era, where myth and morality intertwine with the dance of folklore. Krampus, more than a mere holiday figure, embodies the values and fears of those times, serving as a vessel for imparting moral lessons. But beyond its historical roots, Krampus challenges us today. It nudges us to reflect on the essence of being better individuals, urging a deeper understanding of right and wrong. In our global village, understanding diverse cultural perspectives like those embodied in the Krampus story is crucial. It broadens our horizons, enriches our understanding of the human experience, and, perhaps most importantly, reminds us of the universality of our struggles with morality and personal accountability. Through this lens, the story of Krampus transcends its regional origins, becoming a universal narrative that resonates across time and space. As I've delved deeper into the lore of Krampus and the intrinsic implications behind it, I'm continually struck by the complex layers this figure adds to our understanding of humanity. This amalgamation of legend, monster tale, and the supernatural reaches into a primal part of us, a part that has often been captivated by what lies beyond the veil of the known world. Across different cultures and historical epochs, there's a common thread, a fascination with the paranormal, a longing to explore the mysteries that elude our comprehension. This allure isn't merely about the thrill of fear or the escapism offered by fantastical stories. It speaks to a deeper, more intrinsic aspect of our nature. The quest to understand the enigmatic and often intimidating world around us, and indeed, within us. Krampus, with his ominous presence and moral ambiguous role, embodies this quest. He represents the ancient human endeavor to confront and explain the shadows, both in the world we see and in the depths of our psyche. In the context of our podcast, which navigates the intricate and often shadowy paths where paranormal mysteries and dark histories intertwine, the story of Krampus resonates profoundly. His tale isn't just an artifact of cultural history. It's a lens through which we can examine deeper truths about ourselves. The narrative of Krampus, steeped in cultural and psychological significance, is emblematic of how folklore and myth can serve as powerful tools in our ongoing attempt to decipher the human condition. They offer insights into our fears, our morality, and our perpetual struggle to make sense of the inexplicable elements of our existence. In many ways, Krampus is more than just a figure of old world folklore. He is a symbol of our enduring quest to understand the unknown. As we draw the curtains on this second episode of our fourth season of When Walls Can Talk, where we've journeyed through the haunting and enigmatic world of Krampus, it's time to reflect on what this all means for us. Our exploration into this legend, a blend of folklore, morality, and the supernatural, is more than just a dive into a random Christmas ancient story. It's a window into the human soul, and a mirror reflecting our deepest fears and moral dilemmas, and in truth, a lens through which we can examine all the future paranormal stories that we will discuss together throughout the rest of this season. Krampus, in his terrifying majesty, isn't just a figure of old-world superstitions. In dissecting his story and its implications, we've not only traversed the cultural landscapes of Central Europe, but have also delved into the core of our own nature. We've seen how folklore like Krampus's endures through time, evolving yet holding a window to society's moral compasses and cultural beliefs. This episode, and indeed this podcast, is about more than just recounting eerie tales and dark histories. It's about understanding how these narratives, steeped in the supernatural, shape our view of the world, our societies, and ourselves. In exploring stories like Krampus, we gain insights into the complexity of human nature, our need to make sense of the unknown, and the way our fears and values are woven into the tapestry of our cultural narratives. I find myself reflecting on the depth of its relevance to the Krampus narrative. Personally, I've come to see how often we, as individuals and a society, project our inner conflicts and fears onto external entities. The story of Krampus, a symbol of feared darkness, challenges me to introspect on how much of this, quote, evil, is just a reflection of our own inner struggles. In considering the supernatural elements of the Krampus lore, I'm led to question the very nature of evil as I've come to understand it. Does it reside within us, or is it an external force? For me, Krampus blurs these lines, suggesting that our interpretation of evil, influenced by cultural narratives, plays a significant role in shaping our self-awareness and societal norms. So as you reflect on these questions, I encourage you to explore how the story of Krampus resonates with your understanding of the supernatural, evil, and the human condition. Does it challenge your beliefs, or does it reinforce them? How does it shape your perception of the paranormal in our modern world? These are the questions that each of us might answer differently, and in those answers, we find our unique connection to the mysteries of life. Thank you once again for joining me on these inaugural episodes of Season 4 of When Walls Can Talk, the podcast. For these holiday episodes, I hope you enjoy me taking a slightly different tone to kick off our season. Each of these Christmas episodes may be a little bit shorter in my effort to touch on different Christmas stories and traditions from around the world, but each of them I also seek to use as a bit of a window, a lens through which we can examine the rest of the stories that we will discuss together throughout the rest of the season. By the beginning of the new year, we will return to the episodes that you're used to, a little bit longer, a little bit more historical. But I am enjoying using this opportunity to set the tone for the season by asking you some challenging questions, asking you to reconsider your perceptions on large topics that may affect your relationship with the paranormal and with these darker histories that we seek to share together. If you have thoughts and takeaways, please visit me on Instagram at @whenwallscantalk with underscores for spaces and add those to comments about this episode or any other episode. If you also find yourself reflecting deeper on some of these concepts and questions posed in episodes like the one today, please join our Facebook group, When Walls Can Talk, the podcast on Facebook, where I will be encouraging discussions, questions, polls, commentary, just to really cement our thoughts and feelings about the large-scale implications that I'm presenting to you in these premiere episodes of the new season. I'm having so much fun with this, and I'm really excited to see what other larger questions and reflections we can find through these stories to present them in a way unique and different from any other paranormal or true crime podcast in the industry. My name is Jeremy Haig. I am your host, researcher, editor. I write the script. I do the whole thing myself. So it's a privilege to share this space with you. If you would, please let me know that you're enjoying these episodes by leaving a comment or review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you stream your podcasts. Your reviews really play a huge role in allowing my podcast to reach a larger audience and tricks the algorithm into supporting me and helping grow. Once again, thank you. And I hope you have a wonderful Yule and holiday season.